Welcome to the MBS Podcast. This is episode number 5. The title of today's podcast is Packing for a Conference. Your hosts today for the MBS Podcast are Mark Polino, myself, Belinda Allen, and Sean Doerd. MBS Podcast, where Mark, Belinda, and Sean talk about Microsoft, business, and stuff. Warning, we often geek out. Today we'll be sharing tips with each other on how to pack for a conference. That reminds me, Richard and I, we've learned we can't look at each other sometimes. We know each other too well, and I'm starting to laugh just thinking about the story. We were in Myrtle Beach in front of a having lunch with a customer, and I guess on the way in we saw the special for the day, but the waitress came in, it was chimichangas, and she said, "The special today is chunky mungas. I don't know what exactly it is." And we made the mistake of looking at each other, and we lost it the second she walked away. So there are now times where we can't look at each other because it's just, we know we'll lose it. So that just reminded me of that. I thought that was really funny. Okay, so y'all ready?
Yep, you need to leave that in.
Yeah, that's hysterical. Chunky moment.
That's the lead in. Just do it cold and then go to the intros.
Okay, here we go. Welcome, everybody, to the MBS podcast, where we talk about pretty much anything that we want to talk about. We have M today, Mr. Mark Polino. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Belinda.
We have B, Belinda Allen. That's me. Hi, everybody. And, of course, we have S, Mr. Sean Doerd. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Belinda. Hey, Mark.
You know, Sean, it's funny. Every time I say your last name in front of somebody else, not just like me, or I feel like I'm mispronouncing it, Doerd. It's like it's hard to get that other R in there. So
yeah, it's a hassle to say. My whole life I've struggled with it, so I came up with something to make it easier.
What's that?
It's move forward with Doerd. It's like forward but with a D.
Oh, that works. Forward with Doerd. You know, it's kind of like Steve Endo. We all pronounced his name wrong for years, and then he told us years later, it's Endo like window. It's like, oh, sorry.
Sean, that sounds like a campaign slogan. You should run for office with that.
Right? Right? Okay. So today, and like most podcasts, we just kind of chat about whatever is up. So it's kind of like if you were sitting at the table next to us at the restaurant, what would you hear? One of the things that is something that we have to contend with on a regular basis is packing for trips, particularly conferences. And you know, it's funny, it seems like every spring and fall feels like conference season anymore, right?
So I want to put a little caveat in here, Belinda.
Okay.
We're talking generally about professional conferences.
Right.
So if you're going to like a nudist conference, we have no advice for you.
well, maybe on a different call.
Well, but you don't need anything in your suitcase at that point in time. And if you're going to like Comic-Con or something like that, I have no help for how do you fit the Stormtrooper helmet into your luggage.
You know,
got to figure that out.
I have to say something that is pervasive for any trip, including the nudist colony, is deodorant. And toothbrush and toothpaste. So there are a few things, you know, there's an exception to every rule in technology. And apparently packing is also one of those. So. But true.
Yes.
True. So we all have to pack a lot. So I'm curious. I know I have a constant packing list in my to-do application. Do you guys?
Nope.
Not anymore. No.
You guys just freehand it?
Well, so I traveled for years, Belinda. I did have a list initially, but after doing it enough years, I can do it off the top of my head.
Well, you know, I try to put down things that I learned from. For example, when the GPUG Summit was in Reno was so freaking dry. Excuse my bad language there. It was so dry. I was miserable. And I go to Denver a lot, and Denver is also incredibly dry. So having saline the nose spray for saline, because I'm so used to the humidity in the Southeast, that helps
tremendously. And that's something that I wouldn't always necessarily think to include. But now I'm like, sure. Oh, where am I going? Oh, do I need saline or not? Like going, my next trip is to Seattle. I will not need saline in Seattle. Right. So I don't have to worry about including that. So I, there are always things that I do do indeed like to include. All right. So aside from, oh, before we get into some of the specifics, I have a question. Do you guys put your shoes in the suitcase first or last?
First.
Definitely first.
You know, I used to do that, but now I put them in last. I find I have more room that way because then I'll turn them upside down. Other, if you put them in first, it just takes so much of the suitcase space. But you can like kind of cram them down if you put them in last. Although everything I've ever seen unpacking, it was just put them in first, but doesn't seem to work. Stick them in last.
I will try that next time. Yeah, shoes are the one thing that drive me nuts.
I turn them upside down so that the sole is up on the top, and that way the sole isn't on your clothes either. But it just seems easier to me, especially in these soft-sided suitcases, to get them in, and it just, I feel like I have more room, even though it says don't do it that way. But I mean, even packing for Richard, his shoes are significantly bigger than mine. It still seems to have more room. So, and it goes against everything that all of the people who pack say to do, but it just seems to work better for me. And I get teased about the amount of stuff I can get pack in a car or pack in a suitcase. So, give it a shot. Worth a shot. Okay. So what are, besides clothes, do you pack the night before or do you pack the day of?
So I'm even earlier than the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I kind of check that off my list first. I think the day before I'm more looking for things like my laptop and make sure I have those things that I need that I've forgotten in the past, unfortunately. It's not very fun to get somewhere to speak and you don't have your charger cable for your laptop. So those are higher on my list.
That's why I have a checklist, Sean.
It still varies depending on where you're going and what you're doing. So, you know, for me, if I'm going to a conference and I'm just going to attend or to speak, it might be different than if I'm standing in a booth for 3 days in terms of shoes or what you wear, that sort of thing. So I tend to pack like 2 days before and just let my suitcase sit there and my brain will remember all of the things that I forgot to stick in there the next day.
If I pack the day of, even with a packing list, you can pretty much guarantee I will forget something. Just without fail. Always seems that way. I will forget something. And yep. So I have to pack the day before. Toiletries I pack the day of, because obviously you need those. So, but anything else I pack the day before. What is the weirdest thing that you pack in the suitcase?
So, Linda, you mentioned toiletries. I have a double set of toiletries. So, because I traveled a whole lot Monday to Friday for a long, long time, I had a toiletries bag with, you know, everything in it. And so I've just maintained that because it's not like deodorant goes bad in a couple of weeks sitting in a suitcase kind of thing.
Yeah, but what about toothbrush? You have a toothbrush in there?
That's the only, I used to have two toothbrushes, one in each, but I've gone to a really expensive Sonicare. So that's the only thing.
Okay. I just don't like the idea of a toothbrush because, you know, especially on the return trip, we most of us usually fly in the morning or you get up in the morning and you pack and then you fly that afternoon. So you're putting a wet toothbrush in something and I don't like the idea of it sitting there wet gathering stuff.
So mine were always portable electric, so you could pull the brush head off and put it in a plastic bag or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so what's the weirdest thing that you pack in the suitcase that might surprise somebody or that makes your life easier? I put dryer sheets in.
I do dryer sheets.
You do?
I carry it. I have some weird stuff.
I don't know about the weirdest thing, but I always carry a portable steamer when I travel. I don't trust the irons in a hotel, so I carry my portable steamer and probably looks a little weird, takes up more space than it should.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, no, I don't do
that. And it's so much easier to steam my shirts or my slacks than it is the iron. I was at a conference once. I packed for a conference. I had everything set out. You know, you organize. I can wear, you know, this day and et cetera. And I had to iron my shirts, and they were white shirts. And of course, the water that came out of the iron had rust in it. So I was kind of up a creek. Ever since then, I've been using the steamer.
Wow. Well, you know what you could do, especially if you're staying in a room by yourself, you could take one of the pillowcases off the pillows and lay that over the clothes and then iron your clothes via the pillowcase so that if there is any gunk in it, it'll get on the pillowcase instead of your clothes.
So there's a good tip from Melinda.
Yeah.
Also, same principle. Sometimes you have clothes that will burn easily, and you may have difficulty controlling an iron that's different from yours. And so the pillowcase helps with that too.
Right. And look in the closet and get the pillows out of there and take the pillowcase off that one.
So that's a great tip. But the other element to that is that I am terrible at ironing. So I'll just stick with the steamer for me. It's super handy. It saves me a ton of time.
You know, I'm embarrassed. Well, I guess that's not true. I do iron the clothes when I get there, but I try to take as wrinkle-free clothes as possible. Being a girl, I can get away with that, you know, with a lot of, polyester tops and knits. That's a little harder for guys to pull off. But, yeah. So I wear jeans a lot when I travel. I like wearing jeans to events. First of all, it's kind of my own personal style. Not that I'm stylish, but I do have a Belinda style, and jeans are definitely part of them. And so I will wear jeans a couple days when I travel. And, you know, at first I thought, you know, I'm embarrassed to tell anybody that. But a lot of the fashion houses tell you to wear jeans a lot longer between washes than I do. I think that's a good thing to do. But yeah, so what do you do with your dryer sheets, Mark?
Well, so mine typically go in my suitcase because they keep my suitcase fresh when I don't have anything in it. It's sitting out in the garage. And then I just stick mine in there because they tend to keep just kind of everything fresh along the way. But my weird thing that I bring is a small jar of powdered chicken soup bouillon. So what I find is there are times when, you know, you get stuck in between maybe going back to your room and going out to a late dinner, and you're just sort of starving. And depending on the hotel, they may or may not have a refrigerator. They may just have crap food, or you get somewhere and it's surprisingly cold. But every hotel room has a coffee maker in there, so you can always make yourself hot water and put the soup in. So whether you're fighting a cold or just trying to get kind of salt and everything back into your body from being out and walking around all day, I find that really helps.
That's really interesting. I carry extra coffee, the Folgers that comes in like a little tube, individual cups, because that way you don't have to worry about filters or anything. So I always carry extra coffee, but that's an interesting idea, carrying some bouillons. I like that idea. Yeah. So
what do you do with dryer sheets?
I put them in my dirty clothes bag. It's something I started doing when we started going on sailing vacations, because when you go on a sailing vacation, everything becomes damp, even the clean stuff. And so by the time it hits dirty clothes, sometimes you've actually got water sprayed on you, and it could be salt water, it could be, you know, fresh water, I don't know, but you get all kinds of spray on you, or if you're sailing in the Northeast, you get fog and all that stuff all over you. So just to keep everything from mildewing in the bag, I would take dryer sheets and stick them in my dirty clothes bag. So when I travel, I always have dryer sheets that I can stick into my dirty clothes bag. And then also sometimes too, if you have them and it's a really dry place, again, you can rub them on your clothes if you seem to have static clean, and it'll reduce the static clean. So they have the multiple purposes. Wow, we sound like one of those YouTube videos of like, you know, hey, life hacks. And another thing that I've started traveling with lately that I find beneficial is I have purchased for my computer bag a couple cases so that I organize all of my presentation cables. so that they're included in there. And I've started pulling something from Leslie Vail's playbook. I've made a bunch of stickers with my name on them because I actually lost one. I bought a brand new internet, a USB internet, Ethernet cable, and I lost it day one, pre-day actually, Academy Day at Summit last year. So fortunately, Dynamics Communities loaned me one for the conference, and I made sure and returned it. And it was so funny because the afternoon that I returned it, I got a call from somebody else saying, hey, I think this is your, I think we found it and here it is. And so I got it back. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. So I'm going to start putting my name on there because it's really easy to leave those behind or for someone to think that you're using one that belongs to the room.
Right. That's a great idea.
And you could loan to somebody if they have something without it. But I started buying these bags, and I have a couple different bags because like one of them I call my competition bag now. Because it's the one that has, it's the one we use when we do our Excel shootout, where it has the ABC HDMI adapter, and so yeah. And some HDMI cables included in it. So I call that one my competition bag, but it just has those kinds of things in it. I also bought a small wireless hub, a really small one, so that if I'm presenting in a room and usually they do have a hard wire into the speaker area, I can plug in there and then I can connect to my own little wireless environment. That way, if I'm using like Air Server to share my phone or my iPad with my desktop to project on screen, I'm the only one on that subdomain. And then that prevents people from that's one of the things that causes degradation in sharing is that a lot of people are on the same subdomain, so it's harder for the sharing to work. And since I'm the only one on the subdomain, the sharing's easier. And it could help if, you know, I'm presenting against two kinds of rascals like you two, and then all of a sudden you take your own phone and, you know, Sean would do this and then display his thing saying, vote for Sean, you know, so it kind of controls that a little bit as well.
So, Sean, what do you do with cables and things?
Yeah, I'm more like the, you know, just wrap them up around my hand and stuff them in the bag. But I'm really going to take Belinda's life hack there and put that to use because it does wind up being a mess. You know, I'll pull out a HDMI when I'm looking for, you know, USB or something. But I do have this checklist in my bag, my laptop bag, not for my suitcase, where I make sure I have all my adapters, etc. So I probably should be more organized, but yeah, that's generally it. I'm trying to get more universal adapters and cables, so you know, the switchable ends, rather than having five cables, just have ends that swap in and out. Sure.
Do you think those have good quality?
Say that again.
Do you think those have good quality?
Well, it depends. I mean, yeah, that's a good question, because a lot of times they may even need to be powered. But I have had pretty good success with them. Most places I go to don't have a super high resolution, so it winds up being okay. But if I were to go to a boardroom or something like that, I think I would definitely use a different one.
Huh. So I'm closer to Belinda's route in that I have kind of a go bag that has the stuff I'm most likely to use in the most common scenarios. So I do a lot of kind of one day presentations. You know, I'll go to an event in Jacksonville and speak that day and drive home. And so I have a bag with those things in it. And then I have one of the gridded pieces. Basically, it's a whole bunch of elastic on a square that lets you tuck other things in. I have one of those in my bag with things that I use a little less often. So things I definitely want to bring with me to a big conference, maybe not to something small that's down the street, but like backup adapters and that sort of thing. So I have one of those in my bag with all of those items on, which seems to work pretty well.
I like those, and I had one and I loved it, but I grew to so much junk, so many different variations of cables and things, that I started popping the cables on them. So I ended up going to just bags, different bags. And because on the way back, I will throw those bags into my suitcase if it's not too heavy. And then
yes.
I'll lighten up my carry bag for the plane.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I keep kind of cables I don't use a ton and other things I will keep in my suitcase as well.
I also, if I'm going to be gone for an extended period of time, or I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot of work in like a hotel room or something, I have a USB 3 monitor that I'll carry as well. My problem is it's just slightly bigger than my favorite computer bag on wheels. So I have to go to my second computer bag. So it depends. I have two different ones on wheels, and depending on the size plane, you know, in Charleston, sometimes the planes are really small. So I try to stick with my my smaller bag if I can, because that way I know it'll fit in the overhead. You know, one of those with one seat on one side and two on the other.
Great.
Yeah, the one where you can get up and literally offer gum to everybody on the plane. I did that once.
Did you do that?
I did it once coming from Fargo. I think we were flying United, and the plane from Fargo to Chicago was like super small. I mean, there were probably only 20 something seats on there. So, and I literally had enough gum for everybody. So it was coming back from a stampede. So I just got up and offered everybody on the plane gum. And so just cause I could, why not?
Why not?
So what do you do when you're on the plane? Do you try to work?
I just can't work on a plane. I try. I plan ahead and I download some stuff to my iPad from Netflix, or if I have some movies that I want to watch, I might watch them on the plane. But I usually get myself, I'm one of those folks who puts the headphones on and I pretend nobody else exists. And I just kind of stay to myself throughout the duration of the flight. And usually I might be able to take a nap. Sometimes I like taking a nap.
Yeah, I don't like talking to people.
Yes. Since when?
Only if you can offer them gum.
Right. Well, that's like a 2 second thing. Hey, would you like gum? Here you go. And that's it. But the rest of the time, no, I really don't like talking to people on the plane. Even if I'm traveling with my husband, we don't say anything to each other. We put our headphones on and do our own thing.
Yeah, I tend to try to take a nap because usually it's been a rough couple of days getting ready to leave. But there are times when I just work on the plane, but it depends on what I'm working on and whether or not I can reasonably do it on a plane. So if it's just writing something, then sure. But if I have to do a lot of back and forth or dropping in photos or things like that, there's just not a whole lot of room. So I'll bring a couple of movies and then not watch them, which is pretty typical for me. And then usually try to take a nap along the way.
Yeah, I it's hard working on a plane. It always seems like a good idea, but the plane is always usually just bumpy enough where you can't work. You know, it's like taking the train. I take the train. Well, I haven't taken the train in a while, but I used to take the train a lot. You always think, oh, I have all this time. I'm going to work on the train. But the train jars more than a car. So, you know, you just can't type. So
I don't know. Sometimes it seems like it takes me a half of an hour just to get my phone to connect to the airplane's internet, you know, so I can message back home or something. So I get easily distracted, but it usually kills my time. It's the longer flights where I might start to watch a movie or something on Netflix. I have been listening to some of these podcasts. Jennifer's been recommending these murder mystery podcasts, but the one I was listening to was about something on an airplane, and I kind of just shelved that and I haven't gone back to it. So
no, like,
gotta
be careful.
Those are the best kind.
No. No, your book would not be a good one to read on the airplane. But yeah.
Wendy just commented that she read my book on an airplane and then no one warned her.
Oh, so. Well, then she wasn't listening because I've been saying that all. It's a good book, but yeah, it's not the first one, not an airplane read. Actually, this
no, not an airplane one,
not really a good airplane read either, come to think of it. There's one scene in there. I'm trying to remember that. Anyhow, that's a side note for us later. So I will take knitting every now and then to do on the plane too. But when I knit, I always download from the TSA that I can carry knitting needles and stuff on, and then that way I don't get stopped at the gate, because, you know, they ask a knitter to throw away their knitting supplies, right? They would just like smack you upside the head if you did that. So that would definitely be a for shame situation. That is.
I'm still amazed that you can bring knitting needles on a plane.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're certainly allowed.
You can't bring a knife of pretty much any size, but you can bring a giant stabbing device. Two of them, in fact.
Uh-huh. Right.
And if you're making socks, you could have five of them that are double-edged, right? Yeah, so that's for sure.
That's one way to make sure people don't mess with you on the plane. Just sit there with your extra shiny, extra long crochet needles.
True. Now, I know a lot of us travel in situations.
It's not a prison shank. It's a knitting needle.
Well, that's because usually people who knit are like, you know, little gray-haired ladies like me. That's not true anymore. I'm just making fun. So I shouldn't even say that. I was seriously making fun, but it's certainly not true. A lot of us travel for presentation purposes. So when you travel, I know they always tell us, or when you're presenting, to put your presentation on a thumb drive. Do you guys actually do that?
No,
I never do that. I just make sure it's on OneDrive somewhere.
Yeah, I make sure mine's in the cloud somewhere.
Oh, that's smart. That's pretty smart. Cool.
Because I will for sure lose the thumb drive way sooner than it would get damaged on my laptop. I can't be trusted with small things like that unless it's attached to like the zipper on my luggage or something.
Yeah, and I've got adapters for my iPad as well. So unless I'm doing hardcore, you know, showing off demo items, I could even hook up my iPad and do a presentation off of that if I needed to.
So
my laptop melted down or something.
So they have these thumb drives now that are like, I have the iPhone that on one end are USB and the other end the iPhone adapter. And one of the things I've been doing is putting like recordings of webinars and things I want to see on that, and then sticking it in my phone and watching it using the app called Whitstick on my phone. So it's easier than trying to like sync it over to the phone. So I'll just update that little thumb drive and use that. So that's pretty cool. Although every now and then you have to go through and format it. I don't know why, but it's something that I found to be pretty valuable when I'm traveling. It does stay in my iPad better and more easily than it does on my phone. But depending on the coach seat, sometimes it's easier to watch something on the phone than the iPad, I find, because of the space, especially if the person in front of you is leaning back.
Yeah, my iPad is usually fine. Even my laptop's a little tight, but I have a really small one. I have an 11-inch MacBook, so I can get away sometimes in places other people can't. And I don't have a keyboard on my iPad, and I think that helps because the keyboards put them farther back, whereas the cases tend to bring them forward on the where the screen is on the tray. So that one I'm usually okay with.
I had to get rid of the keyboard on mine. It quit working. And one of the things that I read, which was funny, is like that was a pretty common thing. And it doesn't mean the keyboard's not working. It just means the keyboard won't work with that machine anymore. So I could buy a new keyboard. I could probably give my old keyboard to someone and it would still work. I'm like, oh.
Wow, that's weird. I had not heard of that.
Yeah, it is weird. So I just gave up the keyboard altogether. Bought a case that matches my phone because I'm a girl.
We're not allowed to match if we're men?
Well, you can match if you want. But, yeah, I don't know. Just I'm a girl. I don't know. That's just the way.
Right.
Just the way it is.
How about booking of flights? Do you guys have any tips for when you scour the airlines for booking flights? Like some people say to book on this day or that day, you get better rates.
Tuesdays are supposed to be the best day to book a flight.
Tuesday.
And I've read a couple different things. So like one thing, so John Lowther was telling me he finds that if he goes to like the airline directly, he gets one price. Then if he goes to one of the flight sites like Orbitz or Kayak, it gets a different price. And if he goes back to the airline, then, and he still has that browser open with the discounted site, the prices seem to drop, like it reads the cookies. But then there was another site I read that said you get a better deal if you clear your cookies and then you go to the website directly, because then you're going to be getting a fresh one. And then I also read that if you book 2 one-way tickets, it's cheaper than booking a round trip.
Yeah, I've not found the 2 one-way tickets to be better. One of the challenges with living in Orlando is when you book a flight, going places tends to be cheap and coming home tends to be expensive, especially during like spring break. So it doesn't seem to matter whether I try to do 2 one-ways or a round trip. I tend to book my preferred airline or look at my preferred airlines first. So in my case, it's Delta and Southwest. If I'll find the best price between them, if I'm not happy with that, it seems unreasonable, I'll go check Expedia or Travelocity or Kayak or one of those places. But I don't usually find it makes a ton of difference in most cases.
Yeah, that's why one of the reasons why I asked. I feel like I spend the time, I put the little bit of diligence into bouncing around from site to site, and I really don't see tremendous variances. But what I have been doing is if for something I fly, I know well ahead of time, I'll use, maybe I'm calling it the wrong name, but the Google Flight Tracker, where you can put in and you get updates on price changes. So you pick the flight you're interested in and then you get notified if the price goes up or down. I have saved for my last trip, which was that I booked, which is the one I'm going to in Houston, I saved an extra $50 just by getting that flight notification.
Oh, that's pretty smart. That's pretty smart.
That's cool.
Yeah. I try not to book through the discounted sites anymore, because if they have like an upgrade to first class, you know, for cheap at the airport, a lot of times those tickets are ineligible for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking a long flight, like if you're coming back from Seattle or LA, so you're going all the way across country, you know, if you could get upgraded for $50, it's a no-brainer. And
right.
You're not going to get that option if you buy it on one of the discounted sites. You're going to get a discounted ticket and it's going to be ineligible. I mean, I've even begged before and no such luck. Yep. And, you know, you don't get what you don't ask for. So, like, one time I was flying on my birthday. And so I was sitting there and I thought, what the heck? So I walked into the counter. I was flying Delta. And I'm like, it's my birthday. Any chance you could upgrade me to first class? And she's like, oh, no, it's full. But she upgraded my second leg for me to first class. And she gave me drink tickets for the first leg. So you don't get what you don't ask for. So it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And it really was my birthday. I wasn't even baking.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on the third parties. I'm also like obsessed with earning points for things, even though I'm also a notorious hoarder. I don't even use them for things until they kind of
make me. I use your points anytime, Sean.
But if I can't get significant points out of something, I consider that a good benefit. Like if, you know, getting extra miles or something like that is always helpful.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, there is a little bit of a return on investment there. If, you know, if the prices are equivalent or reasonably close enough, then I tend to go with a preferred airline because I'm going to build up points. When you truly get stuck, being someone who has some status really helps. You know, if you're gold or whatever the next level is, depending on your airline, and you truly get stuck someplace, they're going to be more likely to help you.
That's true. That's true. Oh, it always irritates me. That makes me think about people getting stuck. We've all been there where we've been on like the plane and it's just sitting there because maybe usually it's bad weather. And there's always a couple people on board who think they're the only ones that has to make a connection.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, really, dude? You know? you know, also if they're behind you, they're going to plow you down getting off the plane.
So I have a little on the plane tip.
Okay.
So if you're stuck in coach and you've got a big bag between your legs because everything's full and you've got something in the overhead and you got a big backpack or something, you know, under your seat, so you don't have a whole lot of seat room. Once you get up in the air, take that bag out and put it behind your knees. So put it kind of like at the edge of under your seat so you can stretch out and it's still out of everybody's way. Once you're up in the air, they don't care if you move that stuff around.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
But you can get a whole lot more leg room if you do that.
That's pretty smart. I'll have to remember that. I'm going to Boston at the end of the month. And I will do anything to avoid a middle seat because I'm not a bully enough to take an arm rest. So I sit all crunched up. And then every time I get off the plane, I have a pinched nerve or something, you know. And so... I have to be on one of the edges. It doesn't matter which one. And so, that's a good tip.
So how do you guys pack? Do you do anything special? Do you fold your clothes, roll your clothes, use packing cubes, anything? How do you do it?
I like to pack so that when you unzip the bag, everything goes flying out.
Linda has large springs in the bottom of her suit.
That's right. You just get near the drawer. You open up a drawer in the hotel and you let it pop out. I don't do any of this fancy rolling and I don't use cubes. I just stack it all in there and just mush a few things around the side that don't matter, you know, like pajamas and socks and stuff like that.
Right.
I kind of take a really organized approach at first. Like I do have the suitcase cubes. My kids got those for me for Christmas, and I really like them. But if you start running low on time, it's an extra step. But they are helpful if you plan well enough ahead to use them. And then at the end, I'm like Belinda. I like to just start pushing everything in there. I find extra space where I can, and I try to remember to keep easily carried things towards the top of the suitcase. So if I am slightly overweight or I need to get my jacket, I can, you know, before I give the bag to the airline, I can pull it out of the top of the suitcase without having that mess all over the security line at the airport.
That's another advantage of packing your shoes last is because you could take out like one shoe and get under the limit pretty easily, especially with men's shoes.
Yeah, I don't, most of the time I'm carrying on and I'm not ever near the limit. And I can tell you, we have gone some places with completely full carry-on bags. It's unless you're carrying gold bars, it's hard to get one of those carry-on bags up to a 50 pound limit.
Yeah.
I tend to do the same. I just pack, I've tried everything. I've rolled, I've done plastic bags to keep your stuff from wrinkling, and none of it seems to work for me. So I tend to just pack it all up, but that's why I was curious.
Yeah, no, I don't roll any of it. I typically only do carry on if I'm only staying a night or two. So like on my Boston trip, I will do carry on, and very likely I will pack my computer bag and make that my suitcase.
Yeah, for an overnight, I would do that. But like I can do at least a week, and in some cases, like 8 or 9 days out of a carry-on.
My gosh.
All I need is a few slippers, jeans, and some tennis shoes.
I am much more of a diva than that. I need a lot more options.
It depends on where I'm going and what I'm doing. If it's colder, so you need like inner layers and outer layers, that is almost harder. Sweaters take up a lot of space. But if it's summertime and I'm going somewhere, I can pretty easily do a week.
I probably could too. Yeah. Yeah, we don't carry steamers with us, Sean. although I do have sleep apnea, so I do have a CPAP machine, but I have a small travel one, so it's not doesn't take up, it's very small, it doesn't take up that much space. It's totally worth it if you travel a lot and you have a CPAP machine to get a travel one, although they do not count that as one of your two items carrying on the plane.
So, right, because it's a medical device, is that why?
Device, yeah. So I've been known to like stick things in my CPAP bag too, but I mean, the bag is only so big, so I mean, it doesn't hold that much extra, but traveling, getting a portable one is totally worth it if you travel a lot.
So you mentioned, Belinda, just shooting stuff into the drawers. Do you guys use the drawers in a hotel?
I do.
So I'm totally out. Most times, if it either gets hung up or it stays in my suitcase. So that's how I know. If I hung it up, I've steamed it and it's ready to wear. If not, it's still in my suitcase.
I'm with you, Sean. But a friend of mine had a really good plan that I really liked. When he got to the hotel, he would empty his stuff in drawers. And then as he wore them throughout the day or closet, and as he wore them throughout the week, he would fold them up and put them in his suitcase to take home.
Yep.
And so when he was ready to go, you know, his drawer was empty and his closet was empty and all of his dirty clothes were already packed away in the suitcase. And I really liked that until I got freaked out at one point about bed bugs, when there was a bit of a bed bug epidemic, and I really, really did not want to bring home bed bugs. So now they just stay in my suitcase or hang up in the closet.
Well,
and that may just mean that I'm paranoid, but.
Yeah, you know, I totally get that. But if there are bed bugs, keeping your clothes in the suitcase is not going to protect you from bringing home bed bugs. You're going to bring
up my suitcase.
You're going to bring
my suitcase doesn't. Body,
or they're going to get in your suitcase anyhow.
Probably yes, but if I catch them early enough, then we just pack up the suitcase and walk out, and they haven't made it into the drawer yet.
Well, I do check the bed before I unpack. I will pull back one corner of the, because you know, in New York, I was in New York when that epidemic came through, and there were a couple movie theaters that got them, and it was pretty bad. So I will pull back one corner of the bed, and I will look at the mattress, the seams, and you usually, from what I understand, you could see them or see the marks of them on the mattress. Yes. You'd be able to tell right away if they're there. So I do pull back one corner of the bed before I unpack anything. That gives me an opportunity to turn around and march out and scream bloody murder. I don't know what I would do if I saw that. Never Google the hotel that you're going to for bed bugs, because anyone right. who's ever Googled their hotel for bed bugs, that search stays in there. So every hotel is going to have, you know, the hotel name and bed bugs as a part of the search. So don't even bother. You know, if everybody's looking for it, it's going to become a search thing.
So one thing I do when I get to the hotel, whenever I travel, is I go and I turn on all of the lights in the hotel room. I mean, I turn them off when I'm through, but I go and I check them. I turn on all the lights, and then I look at the room, and I just kind of get an overall feel. Does this feel clean? You know, and there's the obvious, is their hair in the shower kind of things. But sometimes I've gone to hotel rooms where I might have been there a few hours, and then I open the curtains and turn some lights on. I was like, man, that table's disgusting, where there's nasty stuff on the chair, that kind of stuff. So I like to just make sure before I get settled in that I'm at least happy with the condition of the room.
Yeah, it may not actually be clean, but right. you're convinced that it's clean enough, and that's all that matters.
Peace of mind goes a long way.
Yes.
Right.
So Marriott wrote a book many, many years ago, and I read it back when I was in the hotel business. I think it was Marriott, maybe it was Hilton. But anyhow, they were talking about inspecting rooms as in part of the hotel business. And I remember this from my hotel days, that they would go into the bathroom and sit down on the toilet, because that was like, from that vantage point, you could see a lot of things that were done wrong. And at that point, I started realizing one of the most neglected areas for cleaning in a hotel is the restroom in the lobby. So you could tell a lot by, like, if you're trying to potentially stay, you know, you're driving down the road late at night and you want to check a hotel out, step into the restroom first and get a feel for what it's like in there before you chuck into a room, because it is something that you could see a lot more dirt from that point of view. You probably have noticed that, You could just see a lot more missed things from that vantage point. I don't know why that is. I guess because you could see under the vanity and you could, I don't know, but you could kind of really, really get a feel for it. What are some of the worst experiences you've had in a hotel?
Mine go back a little farther, but on my senior trip in high school, we drove out from Florida to Colorado and hit a deer on the way home. So we missed our hotel and just kind of piled everybody into a roadside motel for the night, so the drivers could rest, kind of thing. And it was like knife marks in the wall behind the door when you close the door to the room. And everybody's like, yeah, we're just going to sit up and fall asleep. Nobody wanted to actually crawl into a bed at that point. It was pretty nasty. And then I've been in a couple of hotels that just reeked of smoke. Really before everybody started banning that, it would be a non-smoking room, but the room next door was not non-smoking. And so at that point, if you were on the floor, you smelled it. So,
yeah. What about you, Sean?
I definitely had my share of creepy rooms. So two things. One, I went on a trip to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to visit a customer, and they had an arrangement, a local arrangement. So they picked the hotel for me to stay at. It was oceanfront. How bad could that be? You know, they painted this wonderful thing. I get there and there was like a metal headboard, and there was so much condensation, the rust had been like running down the headboard and looked like blood stains. So I was like, I was calling my wife. I'm like, you need to find me someplace else to go. So that was pretty gross. The other thing is, for this period of time, maybe 6-8 months, it seemed that everywhere I went at the hotel I was going to, there was also a Comic-Con sort of event happening. So much to the point where I was like taking pictures of it because my friends were finding it hard to believe that everywhere I'd go, there would be some kind of character gathering. So that sort of died down after about, I don't know, 8 months, and then because I was almost ready to start just carrying my own costume because it was just that common.
So last year we went to Scotland for a conference and took a couple of extra days, and we went up to Loch Ness, my wife and I did, just to see it. You're already in Scotland, just go to Loch Ness for fun. And so we went into Inverness and we booked a hotel. It was pricey, and it was a European brand that I had heard of, at least, because most of them are kind of no names. And so we take the train up, we get off the train. It's, you know, 7 o'clock at night. It's dark or getting dark because it was summertime. And I look up and, oh, the hotel's in walking distance from the train station. No big deal. We start to walk. And so we walk past a gentleman's club. There's like one more storefront and then our hotel, and we walk into our hotel and there's a bar, not like a bar and a restaurant and a lobby. There's just a bar. no signs, nothing. We're like, where do we go? So we walked out and we go around and nope, that's the only door. So we walk in and ask about the hotel. And they're like, oh yeah, it's upstairs. Do you want to check in? So it's a bar downstairs, it's a hotel upstairs, and to make it worse, the lighting in the hallways was not good, and the halls were all painted dark gray. It was just really, really, even in the rooms, everything was just really sketchy, and you could hear everything all night long, and so it was an interesting experience.
Wow. Well, in this conversation, I learned one very important thing. If I'm at the same conference as Sean, I can get all of my clothes steamed by Sean. So I've learned that.
But you need to bring a costume, apparently.
Apparently. Yes, I could do that. What kind of tip did you pick up, Sean?
Well, I really like the organizer, the cable organizer. I took a note of that. And I'm going to try putting my shoes in last.
Don't fool yourself into thinking that if you are going from like session to session, you are not going to be putting the cables back in the organizer right away. You're going to still be shoving them in your bag, but eventually you can get it straightened out. But it does help. it does help. So cool. Mark, did you pick up any tips?
Yeah, I'm going to try the shoe thing. I think that's worth, my bag has the little slots for the shoes kind of on the side, and it just always feels like it's a huge difference when I'm taking extra shoes versus not. Like if I'm going somewhere for a couple of days and whatever shoes I'm wearing on the plane are going to be my shoes for the next couple of days, I just always feel like I can fit a ton more in my suitcase. So I'm going to try playing with that.
Yeah. I mean, you can still put socks and stuff in them, but I didn't even think about the fact that, I have had times, especially with the bigger suitcases where you're just slightly overweight and they're not going to give it to you. So I could just open it up and take out, especially one of Richard's shoes, and carry one shoe on the plane. And that's just enough to lighten the bag up.
Do you not have a luggage scale at home?
No, I haven't. Usually I'm thinking on the return. On the way there, I could use my own scale, but.
So they make a luggage scale that's portable. You just hook it to your suitcase and then lift up your suitcase and it tells you what it weighs.
Yeah.
And because we have, like, when Angelina has gone into Kenya a number of times, they tend to be really strict about the weight. Or when she went to China this time, they're pretty strict. And we got to the airport and she was at like 50 and a half pounds. And they're like, okay, you can go. Cause if you're within a pound or so, they're usually fine, but you get much more than that. And it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so just being able to weigh that and know, oh, we're 5 pounds over, we really need to move some stuff around or do something, is way easier than dealing with it at the airport.
I just keep thinking about, like, oh yeah. So the luggage scale is going to weigh your luggage, but then it's 20 pounds itself, you know. It's
like, no, they're really light. They're like an extra handle. We actually leave ours clipped to one of the suitcases in the garage, and so we know it's always attached to a suitcase when we need it.
Hmm. Well, maybe I'll try getting one. Might be worth it.
They're not expensive. Target has them. Walmart has them. They're not. It's not. You don't need one that, like, connects to your iPhone and keeps track of what your luggage weighs or anything.
I might give one a shot. All right. So that's a little bit about us and what we're like when we travel. And believe it or not, we really do have these kinds of conversations on a regular basis because, you know, traveling is something that we, all three of us, do on a regular basis. And it could be tough if you're not. If you're not prepared, especially if you end up forgetting something, like, you know, who knew Sean traveled with a steamer? So I don't have to worry about, you know, my clothes anymore. I've got Sean.
I feel so exposed.
Right? Hey, well, I just shared with everyone I have sleep apnea. So that's, you know, hey, you know, if anybody needs, it also has sleep apnea. I usually travel with, like, a cleaning spray for the mask. So you can come to my room and borrow that if you need to. So there's, I'll share as well. So other than that, that is us wrapping up this particular podcast. I hope you learned something, even though we didn't really talk too much technology. I guess we kind of did with cables, but anyhow, any closing thoughts, guys?
I think that's about it. I think go travel somewhere.
Yeah. I wish I was traveling now. I told you that when we got started. I wish we were in Amsterdam having dinner at one of those Indonesian restaurants as opposed to sitting at home. But maybe next year. All right, everybody. Have a good one. MBS Podcast out. On behalf of Mark, Sean, and myself, thanks for listening to our podcast today. Visit our site, mbspodcast.com, for a listing of all our podcasts. For Mark, Belinda, and Sean, have a great day and keep geeking out.